may be pleased to help me again, I would ask your attention to Psalm 20. Psalm 20 and verses 1 and 2. Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. For the benefit of any friends that were not here this morning, we tried to look at this word. We noticed the word speaks to those in trouble. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And we noticed that those that are called by God, these will be brought to see and know and confess their sins before a holy God. Their sins will be brought to their remembrance, and they will be a grief. They will be a sorrow, so that they will be troubled in their minds, in their consciences. There will be no peace. And friends, as some of us have proved, until we have found the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and he has heard us confessing our sins before him, which we must do if we are going to be forgiven, for the word says without confession there can be no remission. We are to confess our sins before a holy God, and when they are a burden and a sorrow to us, then we shall have to come to the Lord and tell him and plead for mercy. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. It is a day of trouble when we are brought into that pathway. But there are many other troubles, many of them, that cause us to cry unto the Lord. We want to see him work, not only in our own hearts, but in our families. We want to see him work in the church of God. We want to see him work in the hearts of any that come in to the house of God. There will be times when we have to plead with the Lord that he will work in the hearts of one and another. What a wonderful thing it is when one is laid in the hearts of his children, so that they have to pray for them. our friends, and those prayers are most valuable. I've felt the power of them in my own heart regarding the ministry of the word. When one and another that we know prayed for us, and we've felt their loss when they died. I remember I used to go to Ponsard Road, London, to preach, and the old deacon, Bill Everett, was there in those days, and friends, he used to pray for me. Not me only, but his servants. And friends, it never seemed the same after he'd gone. And I've known at least two other women that have carried me in the ministry of the word, praying for me. They're valuable prayers, friends. I don't doubt there's many more that have not been revealed to me. But friends, oh, it's a wonderful thing when the children of God are constrained to pray for one and another. Not only those that regularly come, but those that may come once now and again, or even strangers that might come into the house of God. Friends, we are to pray. Pray for the welfare of Jerusalem. We are to inquire of God for these things. He will be inquired of by his people. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Friends, the God of Jacob. What a mercy it is we have various ones recorded in the word of God. Jacob. Some of these men, like Jacob, we know were not without sin. And we may solemnly know and realize we personally are not without sin. I know we may and do look upon some of the Lord's children and some of his servants, and we think, well, I'm not like them. Not like them. They set such a different example. They seem to walk such a much holier life. Oh, but friends, the Lord knows them that are his. He knows those that feel less than the least. Less than the least. He doesn't despise them. Friends, what a wonderful thing. The ones that are less than the least are just as valuable in the Lord's sight as the most gracious ones. So friends, there's hope for us all. The Lord, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. the God of Jacob. You see, the Lord didn't despise Jacob. He didn't cast him off. Jacob, remember, was a deceiver. He was a deceiver. He deceived his brother. He deceived his father. Friends, how amazing these things are. But what does the word say? As ye sow, so shall ye reap. So it was with Jacob. He deceived. Then he was deceived in due time. He was deceived by Laban. We know there are some remarkable things in the experiences of Jacob, but there was much, much teaching. But the Lord loved Jacob, and the Lord told Jacob he would be with him in all places, whithersoever he went. Ah, friends, what a wonderful thing. If you and I are the Lord's children, though we might feel very different to them, we might feel have nothing like they have, and yet, friends, the Lord sees them that are His. And he'll lead them in his paths. He'll bring them to his footstool. He'll bring them to that place where his love will be revealed to them. You might say, well, I shall never come there. I shall never see or receive the love of Christ in my heart, because of my sin and my uncleanness. But friend, consider this. What about the dying thief? He was being crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was still at enmity with the Lord Jesus Christ. He cast the same in his teeth as the other thief did on the other side. But the dying thief, though he didn't know it, he was one of the Lord's chosen people. And the time came that the dying thief must be called by grace. And so the Lord Jesus begun the work in his heart, and he was turned right round, the same as Saul of the on the road to Damascus was turned right round. He was made willing. They were both made willing to serve God. They were both brought to confess their sins before God. And the dying thief cried for mercy. He acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged he deserved what he was suffering. But he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't cast him off, he had mercy. Friend, the devil might say to you, there's no hope for you, the Lord will never have mercy upon you. I tell you, if you're able to confess your sins before God, God will have mercy on your soul. There's not one that you read of in the Word of God that cried for mercy and was cast off, turned back. So, friends, there is hope. Hope. Cry unto the Lord. Take no notice of what Satan says. Satan is a liar. And Satan will be cast into an eternal hell. But Satan is upon the world. He has acknowledged before God that he goes to and fro and up and down in the whole earth. And he has a particular hate towards God and his children. And he will do all possible to distress the people that call upon God. But friends, the Lord our God is almighty. He's greater than Satan. But he will be inquired of, this our God will, that we to do it for us. The God of Jacob defend thee. The Lord will defend his children. He'll defend them from Satan. Oh, the mercy. The mercy of God. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Friends, what a mercy. The Lord sends help from the sanctuary. He helps the children of God. Satan may say to you, well, it's no good. There won't be nothing for you. You're not like the people of God. But, friend, God is no respecter of persons. He knows them that are his. That's what counts. And he will help those that are cast down and distressed that cry unto him. There's been many, many of those that the Lord has called that have gone to the house of God. And they have gone to the house of God, as I trust we have here today, to come and hear what the Lord will say unto us. We want him to speak to us. We want him to comfort our hearts. We want him to forgive our sins. We want him to instruct us in the way that we are to go. Friends, we have to seek the Lord time and time again to show us the way that we are to go. His servants have to seek him particularly at this time of the year. As you know, it's the time of the year almost here when engagements are made for another year. What will the Lord have us do? What is his will? Which way are we to go? It's not necessarily the same way that we've gone the last 3, 5, 10 years or whatever. Not necessarily. We don't just have one call per Sunday. We can have 3, 4, 5 or more calls for the same Sunday. They can't all be of God. Which is of God? That's what concerns us. Friends, we have to cry unto the Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. That's the last thing we want to do, is to go into a pulpit where the Lord is not. Because we know our mouth may well be shut, and if it's not shut, it will only be empty words. There'll be no power, there'll be no application, there'll be no fruit. So what an important matter it is, not only to his servants, but the children of God, the churches. It's right they should be concerned and exercised, that they have God's choice of man in the pulpit. Friends, his servants, each have a work to do. One has one job to do, one has another. One has one strain of preaching, one has another, and so on. They each have the Lord's work, the Lord's bidding. Oh, it's very wonderful. So you see, friends, the preaching is not always suitable to everybody, far from it. But in the course of the Lord's providence, he brings his children to the right place where they are going to feed. It's very wonderful when we see it, when we find it. And we shall know when the brook dries up and there is nothing. We may have been at a place 5 years or more or less, and we may have profited, but sometimes there comes a change and the brook dries up, just as it did with the prophet Elijah, I think it was. I always get mixed up with Elijah and Elisha, but I think it was Elijah. He went to the brook Cherith, where the Lord commanded him in his providence, and there he fed the prophet. He ate and he drank. He drank of the brook. The ravens brought flesh for him. He was quite happy and contented to be there because the Lord provided for him. The Lord's eye was upon him. But then, you see, much to his amazement, the brook dried up. Thus, he couldn't stop there. He had to move. And God directed him where to go. He used another unusual circumstance, a poor widow woman that had a handful of meal left in the barrel, nothing more. Yet he commanded the prophet to go to that widow woman and that she would feed him. And he cried unto her to give him something to eat and drink. She said, I've only got one handful of meal, and I'm just going to cook it for me and my son, and then we shall die. But he said, first, bake me a cake. She was obedient. What a wonderful provision. Was that the end of the meal? No. The meal never wasted. Oh, friends, the Lord supplies the needs of his children wherever they are. But his providence unfolds the book. And so it is spiritually. There are times when the brook dries up, the preaching dries up, and there's nothing. And friends, we need to look. We need to watch. We need to pray. That the Lord would show us His will, His way. The Lord says in His word, He will feed His children in famine. And He will. And there is spiritual famine. And I believe we are there to die in some measure. Spiritual famine. I believe there's many, many places where the word is preached, but God is not there. God is not there. And it cannot possibly bear fruit. There may be a gathering. It may attract the people. But friends, what we find generally attracts the people is social events. They are not the old paths that we are commanded to choose and walk in. No. The old paths are the paths where the Lord is, where the Lord teaches His children, and His children are brought to honour Him and reverence Him. You know, we hear a lot about new Bibles. But you know, these Bibles, particularly some, where they bring down the Lord to our level, speak to Him as you and so on. But friends, they're dishonouring to our God. He is high. He is the King of Kings. He is Almighty God. And friends, His children will reverence Him, respect Him. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Strengthen thee. Help from the sanctuary. Friends, how many times we have had help from the sanctuary? How many times, friends, has the Lord been a refuge for you and I? A refuge, blessed refuge, when we haven't known how to go any further, when our burdens have been too heavy and too great, we've had to flee unto the Lord. He's been our refuge. He has helped us. Yes. He's kept us from sinking into despair. He sends help from the sanctuary and strengthens thee out of Zion. You know, friends, I believe the greatest test we have is not in the house of God, it's out of it. It's when we're having to do with the world. And we have to do with the world. We have to live in it. We're not meant to separate ourselves from the world, as it were, like Catholics do, and go and live in a convent separate from the world. God created the world for man. We are to live in it. But we are still to serve God. We are still to respect Him. He will not condemn us because we live in the world and have to mix with men and even work with worldly men. But friends, as we are enabled, we shall still respect our God. And if we are required to do something that dishonors our God or is dishonest, God granting to us the grace, we shall refuse to do it. Whatever the cost is. But the Lord send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. It's not always an easy matter to serve our God in the world, especially at work. I remember when I first, in the early days, went out to preach, and I thought, well, whatever's going to happen? If somebody asks me to preach in the weekday and I've got to travel in the afternoon, I've got to stop away from work. How will they receive it? Will I get the sack? Friends, I don't remember ever being brought to the test, but I'd already faced it. And I'd already felt in my heart that if I was asked, I would go, whatever the cost. If it cost me my job, so be it. I knew it was in the Lord's hand. I could not have refused, and I would not have done. But friends, we are put to the test sometimes in various ways, different things. God watches us. He will strengthen His dear children out of Zion. Friends, when we feel His love and His mercy in our hearts, we shall not be able to sin easily against Him. Joseph couldn't do it, could he? He couldn't sin against his God. He couldn't yield to that woman that pleaded with him again and again to lie with her. No. Because God was with Joseph, because God prospered him, because he felt the Lord's presence, he saw the effects of it, and he loved the Lord for it. And this was a great strength and a help to him. Do we know anything about it? I know just a little. Not much, but I do know a little. I do know when the tender fear of God has been in my heart and I've been subjected to temptation, real temptation, but it had no effect on me. That's not my nature. That was God given. And I've never forgotten it. Never. Ah, friends, how good the Lord is. He does strengthen His children out of Zion, even literally. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. friends, he helps his children in their walk, in their profession. He helps them to resist sin and Satan and the world. If you and I are called upon by the Lord to serve him, then we shall have enemies. We shall have the world, which will be against us. Look at Saul. Saul on the road to Damascus. Look how he was called. Look at the effects upon him. How he was brought down, brought to confession. The Lord heard him, had mercy on him. He sent Ananias to him that he might receive his sight. And the dear man was forgiven. He was forgiven. And he straightway was baptized. Friends, oh, that's the least poor man can do, to honour the Lord for all he has done for us. Saul was baptized. And he preached Christ. But look at the opposition that he encountered. They sought day and night to slay him. But look at God's providence. Rahab is used and lets him down over the wall in a basket. And he escaped. God's providence overrules. God's providence will overturn. God's providence will make a way where there seems no way. The Lord will never fail his children. They're in his hands. And when he uses them, and when he has a work for them to do, he will look after them. He will protect them. Just as we've already noticed how Elijah was fed. He had a work to do. Jonah had a work to do. But Jonah, unlike the prophet Elijah, he rebelled. He refused. He said he wasn't going to go that way. He wasn't going to do what the Lord had told him he'd got to do. And so he had to suffer for it. He was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by the whale. But that was God's mercy to him. God's mercy. His life must be spared. Jonah must be put to the test, to see if he will repent. He went down to the bottoms of the sea in the whale's belly. It was to him the belly of hell. Pitch black darkness. Can't imagine it. But there we were. And it was there that he had to confess his sins before God. It was there that the Lord heard him. And it was then that the Lord delivered him from the belly of the fish. He commanded the fish. You see, friends, it's not only man that's in God's hands. Everything's in God's hands. The animals. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. They were ravenous beasts, hungry. Jonah, Daniel was cast in the lion's den. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him because the Lord had shut their mouths. And it wasn't only for a minute or two, it was hours through the night. The king came early in the morning. Oh, Daniel, is thy God continually able to deliver thee, to shut the mouths, lions? He was. Oh, what wonderful things these things are, friends, and they are recorded for our help and our encouragement. You might feel you're almost in the lion's mouth. He's waiting to devour you. Satan. But friends, the Lord says from time to time, thus far, no further. That was so regarding Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ and the church of God. But he was stopped. And he couldn't do it anymore. He was made willing in that same hour to serve God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is there one here this afternoon that is in the hands of God? Has God stopped you? Has God brought you down to his feet? Has God shown you the path you've been walking in? And what is judgments await for sinners? But he also has made a way that poor sinners might be reprieved. He is the way. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, friends, what a mercy. We have a blessed Jesus, a blessed Redeemer, one who shows mercy, has mercy. Oh, that we might each be brought to this blessed Jesus. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Friends, what a strength the word of God is to his children. All these things that are recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're there for the instruction of those whom the Lord calls. You might not be able to say today you're one of the Lord's children, but as the Lord called you. Friends, he calls his children. Yes, he calls them. He called Samuel. But Samuel, when he was called in his young days, he didn't know God's voice. Neither do we. When the Lord begins the work in our hearts, you may be in a position to die and you don't know the Lord's voice. You hear voices, no doubt. But as we've said many times, whose voice is it that we hear? There is God's voice. There is Satan's voice. There is our own voice. And friends, it's a very narrow path. We need the Lord to show us what is of him and what is right. And when we are deceived, because we can easily be deceived. Satan is powerful. He has a powerful voice. And friends, we can well be deceived when we hear Satan's voice. He can use Greek scripture. He can quote many things. And he knows ever so much about you and I. I've been astonished at the things he knows. I've also been deceived in his voice. I have thought his voice was God's voice. But friends, oh, blessed be the Lord, he didn't leave me there. He left me there for a time. And it was a great distress to me, a great trouble. I couldn't understand it. But the Lord, in his own time and way, he came and he showed me. It was Satan's voice, not God's voice, that God would not have been grieved in those things that Satan was challenging me in. Ah, friends, oh, where we need then to be found in prayer. The Word of God says, pray without ceasing. It is needful, friends. But who is there of us that do it? Pray without ceasing. We need the Lord to keep us. We need him to come again and again and to quicken us into life. Well, friends, may the Lord bless these few things to us. May he enlighten us and give us a right understanding of his word. For his name's sake, amen.